Usually when we talk about drones on this program, we are reporting on a strike against terrorist suspects in Yemen or Pakistan. Well, a lot of people and businesses are eager to begin using unmanned aerial vehicles here in the United States. They range from drone manufacturers themselves to police departments, farmers, photographers, and hobbyists. And officials at all levels of government are grappling with what to do about it. Out in Silicon Valley, NPR's tech correspondent Steve Henn stumbled upon a perfect illustration of the current state of the drone industry.
A couple of months ago, on a beautiful spring day in mid-March, I went for a run along a local creek and up toward the foothills of the Santa Cruz Mountains. My goal was Stanford's Dish, a giant radio telescope that's visible for miles. Along the way, I passed two separate groups of folks flying drones. So I whipped out my smartphone and started recording.
I walked up to you because you were actually the second drone pilot I've seen on my run today.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. You saw a guy with an octocopter, which is, those are professional. Those are for carrying red cameras, big SLRs.
But Pablo Lema is just a hobbyist.
So what I have here is called a quadcopter, very well known. I don't like to call it a drone, but it is a remote aerial vehicle that I can control wearing some goggles with a camera that records the flight. So I can go beyond line of sight.
It's just a few pounds, and it has a tiny GoPro camera mounted to it.
And I use it just for fun, shooting around the bay, doing some cool videos.
So we're standing on the top of the Dish in Stanford right now.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, a quarter mile from the Dish itself.
Yeah.
Describe the flight you just took.
So I flew up first around myself just to check, make sure there was no radio waves around here that would drown me out.
Then Lema flew more than a quarter of a mile up to a multi-million dollar radio telescope over paths and trees and people. And on the way back, he wove through a grove of oaks. You can see a recording of his flight on our website. And because Lema stayed away from airports and below 400 feet, his flight was perfectly legal, kosher in the eyes of the FAA. But the other drone pilot I met that day, named Nick, asked us not to use his last name because when he took flight, he was breaking the law.
Most of what I was shooting is kind of just maybe 10, 15 feet off the creek and just getting these long shots just over the river.
The film was for an environmental group. Nick is a licensed pilot, and he was flying in an area with fewer people. He was closer to the ground, and he never flew the drone past his line of sight. But Nick's flight was illegal because Nick was being paid.
I mean, I'd welcome regulations. I don't like having to feel like I need to be sneaky or, you know, feel like I'm a drug dealer or something. I really love what I do and want it to be a legit business.
Nick began his career as a photojournalist at a newspaper, but his colleagues were losing their jobs. So he decided to rack up debt on his credit card and invest in a couple small 25-pound drones. Now he makes his living taking incredible airborne films. But this means Nick's working in an illegal market.
Today, the FAA really only has one rule, which is no UAVs for commercial applications.
Jonathan Downey is the CEO and founder of Airware. His company makes software that autonomously pilots small UAVs or drones.
One of the applications that we're most excited about was a customer that came to us, a conservancy in Kenya that's going to be using a drone very soon for anti-poaching operations there. They have four of the last seven northern white rhino in the whole world.
The system can pilot the drones for hours independently and alert rangers if there's a problem. In Kenya, these drones will be programmed to read RFID tags on the rhinos, but Airware's system is built so you can plug in almost any kind of sensor to use it to help direct the drone. Drones running the software could sniff the air for chemicals, track heat signatures, or sense motion.
Think of it as like, you know, Microsoft Windows or something. It's an operating system. And like Windows, you can plug different devices, you know, different printers and hard drives or whatever into the hardware.
Chris Dixon is at the venture capital firm Andreessen Horowitz. His company, along with Google Ventures, just invested more than $10 million in Airware.
Yeah, so the big thing in the market right now is that Congress has mandated the FAA come up with guidelines by 2015. And so 2015, we're expecting some, you know, very specific guidelines that kind of balance, you know, privacy and safety and, you know, commercial interests and a bunch of other things. Until then, I think it's a lot of gray area.
Today, Airware's clients are all abroad, but Nick is here trying to build a business operating in that gray area.
You know, if this venture falls apart, or the FAA comes along and tells me I can't be doing this, I have no idea what I'd do. It could turn out very badly.
Integrating full-scale drones into U.S. airspace, drones the size of the Predator, will take at least 2 more years. But the FAA says it expects to issue proposed regulations opening up the air to small drones like Nick's later this year. Steve Henn, NPR News, Silicon Valley.
This is NPR.